The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to March 2009.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we're enjoying cookies and coffees here in the CST studios while we tape this program for you. So let me introduce our panelists to you. To my right, from the Department of History, its chair, keeper of our abolitionist archives, and now the proud father of a new baby minor.
A new baby minor, yes.
Oh, actually, thinking not a baby.
And thinking about another one.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, yes. This one got pushed through today, so yay, hooray.
We're seriously talking about a minor in museum studies.
Oh, okay.
So what would you need, like what specific classes would prepare you for that? Would art class, maybe?
Well, that would be a possible elective, not an art class, because we don't have art, but like art history, which we're thinking about offering. Sarah's actually
Sarah teaches architectural history.
And we'd have the new arts management course, which would be very helpful.
You saw Greg Grobus's outline, which is really great.
Trying to get a meeting together.
Yeah,
we've got like about five things down.
I was going to say.
As I try to get people together to schedule a meeting, three or four more things come
keep
down the
coming
pike.
Down. Yeah. That kind of hurts that way. Well, across the table, asking questions about what classes to take from the College of Engineering and Science, it's our pre-college engineering program coordinator, Dan, the DAPSEP man, Michio.
Hi, Kathy.
And you have no DAPSEP this weekend.
No, I have the next 2 weekends off.
You won't even know what to do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do know what to do.
Relax.
We're going to curly.
Yeah, there you go. Or just relax at home with baby Peanut, with the little cat. Okay.
Yes.
Or Garfield on steroids, I think.
That's it. There you go. You can try something like that. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about steroids or about anything.
Steroids.
Minors, museums, art history.
Garfield was young and naive when he took steroids.
That's right. Garfield didn't know. He was like A-Rod. He had no idea what he was taking.
It was all his cousin's fault.
That's right. His cousins just kept bringing those from south of the border.
Catnip.
Yeah, right.
He knew.
Please, thank you. Like, hello. I can never believe those lines.
Although anybody had the bad judgment to hang out with Madonna, I could see fall, you know, having other problems as well.
Yeah, I gotta say, really, not connecting all the marbles and none of the shooters, so to speak. So, hey, you can send us questions on that as well. So how can you get those questions to us to win one of our fabulous T-shirts?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And we're going back to some questions that deal with trivia and media and films and music and all that good stuff from the 1990s.
Before we do,
Kathy, go ahead.
I feel obliged to make a confession given the...
Where's the priest?
The topic that we were just discussing.
I
want to go on record that I've never taken steroids.
Thank God.
I bulked up the natural way.
Oh, well, there you go.
Beer and chicken wings.
Excellent. So. And why not? I hope you some pie helped with that.
Pie. Lovely chocolate chip cookies. Yeah.
The bulk
There's a little bit of peanut butter in those puppies, too. I had a few peanut butter chips left over,
but
so
the
I
bulk
threw those
is in the
in.
Wrong area.
Yeah, but...
In a different area than what steroids would do for you.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude here, but it's like when you look at a rookie card of, like, Mark McGuire, you know, and then you look at... You know, when he broke the record. The best cartoon I've seen recently was one that showed a bunch of baseball players, you know, and then a picture of Hank Aaron saying, how come every time we break a record, he looks better? Because Hank didn't do steroids, okay? Mm-hmm. He was a great man and a great talent.
You know what Bill Maher said when Larry King asked him about this?
No.
Who cares? It's just baseball.
Oh, how can you say that? Nothing is ever just baseball.
He said it's just professional sports.
Oh!
Why do we care?
Because some of us love baseball.
And why is Congress involved, which is what I say.
But because baseball is such an American
so
sport.
I'm not kidding. Let them live and die. You do it and people don't like it and they stop going to the baseball games.
Oh, no.
And then they have to clean up their act. So
well,
just
but
let
we
them...
regulate so many other parts of our life.
Hey, I say bring back the reserve clause.
Mm-hmm.
So my Cincinnati Reds can hold on to all the talent they develop.
There you go. But I really take any foreign visitor to a baseball game, and it is such a uniquely American thing to do.
Well, why don't you pay them the average price of the customers, the average salary of the customers sitting in the stands, and then see who plays. And then you'll get people who play because they want to play, not because they're getting $5 million a year to play. Well, there's a thought.
They think of themselves as entertainment CEOs.
Yeah, there you go. There's some of them that do.
Well, I don't.
Well, there is that.
Can
okay.
you tell?
I know.
I'm sorry.
But, and I'm well, in a but good you mood. Like hockey.
I do like hockey. That's different.
What if curling went professional? What if curling went professional?
Hey, they would like free beat for a year. If you go over to the Leamington Bonspiel, I think it's the one in Leamington,
yes,
you win,
I
like,
love Leamington.
Chicken.
Yes, you get me. Yeah, I
but
know.
But unfortunately, we can't bring it back
well,
over the
border. Well, I was going to say, you can't bring that over the border.
Because it's...
I'm waiting for the day that a journeyman professor can get paid, $1.5 million.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Don't wait. Don't hold your breath. You'll be blue as the sky. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's start with these questions again from some History of Canada students who thought they could get excellent credit. But sorry, Joe and Jim, it's just not going to happen. But Roy had a great idea. My chair said that I could give you stale cookies, and that'll work just as well. But you'll get the T-shirt. Okay. What soap opera about the Abbott, Newman, and Winter families is set in fictional Genoa City?
Oh, that's us. Is that The Young and the Restless?
Yeah, yes, it is. It is The Young and the Restless. Yes. Where is Genoa City located?
Or are you shaking your head, the fact that I actually knew that?
You're out of my terrain now with soap operas.
Okay,
I'm
but
sorry.
Is Genoa City like an estate or like...
It's all in fantasy land.
Oh, it's a fantasy land. Okay.
So California?
There we go. Yeah, really. There we go. Oh, well, here we go, Dan. What TV series let Shannon Doherty show Aaron Spelling she can play a witch as well as a...
Charmed.
Yes, there we go. We don't have to put that rhyme in there now, do we? What cable access TV show from Aurora, Illinois comes from
Wayne's World?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a Campbell Family Basement.
Yep.
Which was a cute concept in that way.
Yeah.
This actor played a transvestite drug enforcement agency agent on Twin Peaks before he got a juicier role as an FBI agent. So he played on Twin Peaks. He played
I know who it is.
Yeah. Yeah. His initials are alliterative. They both are DD. And recently he was treated for an
David
addiction.
Duchovny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
That's it. It's David Duchovny. I admit I love Twin Peaks.
Okay, I admit that's not who I was thinking of. But you're right, it was. I was thinking of the other FBI agent who actually played in Oz.
Oh, really?
Who was the mean... Never mind.
Okay, we'll do that at the break.
Okay. This is all like this is a family show.
That's right. I don't think we're going to talk about that one. Okay.
Michael doesn't want to have to edit anymore.
I don't blame poor Michael. His fingers are worn to the bone editing that way. What 1999 movie spooked people with the ominous line, "I see dead people"?
Oh, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, that was that little fella that said that, wasn't it?
Yes,
the little boy actor, mm-hmm.
Bruce.
Bruce Willis.
What's his name?
Haley.
It's kind of funny. Haley Joel.
Osmond or something like that. Okay.
Of course, we have a colleague up on the third floor who has the sign that says "I see stupid people."
Could
office.
That be Dr. DeWitt?
It could be.
It could be.
No, you're kidding. Oh, I'd never.
He's the one that gave me the goodbye kitty of the cat in the bathtub with the toaster being thrown toward it.
Yes.
That says "goodbye kitty" on it, which is real. I probably should take that down because the poor Chinese students that come to visit me, they love Hello Kitty in Japan and. China.
Oh, do they?
They love. They yeah. Oh my God, it's everywhere, and so they kind of look at that, and I always think, oh Lordy.
I like the smoking kitty.
Yes, the smoking kitty. Bad habits.
Yeah, I have that one on my door too.
What actress gave her 10th adopted child the middle name Wilk W-I-L-K after the judge who presided over her custody battle?
Was it Woody Allen's ex-wife? It's not Diane Keaton.
No.
Mia Farrow.
Mia Farrow. Wow, I didn't know she had adopted 10 children.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, better than having eight octuplets or whatever.
That's Dr. Jim Tubbs, who's been a guest on here. That was his class, his medical ethics, healthcare ethics class discussion yesterday, and it'll be tonight as well, on the ethics of multiple births and fertility.
Yep.
And Jim has a point, I think, that he said, individuals may make these choices, but physicians are there to help, explain perhaps some of the challenges of those decisions. Yeah. So,
if you've seen older pictures of her, which they were, the one show they did an extended interview with her, I forget the new show, but they showed some older pictures. She's clearly had like significant plastic surgery done too, so she's got more.
Oh, really?
She's got more compulsions than just.
If she were evaluated, I'm sure she would be found to be
Obsessive repulsive?
Not stable.
Obsessive compulsive.
Oh, my goodness.
There's nothing happy about that story. And chances are in a year those kids will be a ward of the state.
When I hear about children being born, I think that's such a wonderful thing. I admit it. I think little people are such a blessing. I do. But then it's just sort of like, wow, how many little people are here?
Did you see that story out of England about the 13-year-old boy who looks like he's 8?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that was...
Fathering a child.
With then, his 15-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, but yes. Now it's out that it was all a lie.
Yes, it was
and
a
the
hoax.
Parents of the boy just told... set it all up just to make money from the story. Mm-hmm. But when you look at this kid, he looks like he's 6,
well, you know,
7.
But here's
but
the
he's
thing.
Like, it was, say he's 13.
It was in the penny press. I mean, it was in the sleazy, the Sun.
Oh,
and,
what?
You know that.
Okay. Well.
But people in England started to immediately jump on this bad wagon of, look at our incorrigible youth, and look what's happening, and they're binge drinkers, and they're violent, and they're this and that, and look what they're doing now. So I thought, okay, get off these kids' back. What was the first movie from DreamWorks to win a Best Picture Oscar?
Schindler's List.
No, this is an interesting film. It had, Annette Bening was in it.
It's not The Grifters.
Not The Grifters, no. It
no,
was
they
kind
didn't
of about
the
disillusionment with the...
Oh, American...
President?
No, with The Rose.
Yes.
American Beauty.
That's it, American Beauty. That
with
was
Kevin
it.
Spacey.
Yeah,
that was
Kevin
a good
Spacey.
Movie.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah, much better than Beyond the Seas. I got to admit that. I know he loved Bobby Darin, but like, dude, don't do that kind of film again, okay? This film's D-Day landing was so real that the Department of Veteran Affairs...
Saving Private Ryan.
But they set up an 800 number to help veterans experiencing flashbacks from watching that scene. That's
When they opened the D-Day Museum in New Orleans, a number of veterans said that the first half hour of that film should be in lieu of the usual museum. Entry film. That should be what they show them before. Then go
take
into
them
the museum.
In, It truly, that is so amazing. I know a cousin who was with the Canadian forces where they landed had to get up and leave the theater. Said he couldn't watch it. He just couldn't see it anymore.
It's one of those rare movies that when you leave the theater, nobody says anything.
No, you're just kind of like shell-shocked yourself in a way. No pun intended, but you're just so taken aback by what
Schindler's
you see.
Schindler's was like that too.
Oh, I know.
That was a really good movie. Mm-hmm.
This Michelle Pfeiffer film was shot under the working title, My Posse Don't Do Homework.
Who?
Michelle Pfeiffer starred in this film, and it was made under the working title, My Posse Don't Do Homework.
Ironically, none of her movies are memorable.
She was an inner-city teacher
She was
something.
A teacher
yeah,
who
I
was like an ex-Marine.
Right, exactly. Can you name 3 movies that Michelle Pfeiffer has been in?
Absolutely.
Which is a beast?
Fabulous Baker Boys.
Oh, you're right.
Which I thought was really a great film. She was in Scarface. With Al Pacino, she
You're
played
right.
kind of the.
Oh, and she was in.
The kind of bimbo.
Actually, the good one she's in is it Honeymoon in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that she's not a good actress.
Yeah, because I think in many ways she's a great actress.
I just find it funny that I couldn't think of any movies that she was in. And
yeah, this was Dangerous Minds.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know who really liked that film was Father McKendrick. God rest him. He loved that film. He thought it was a great movie altogether. And when we think about great movies, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
From the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
See, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
Professor Arthur Beer from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts was a regular on Ask the Professor from 1988 to 1999. Arthur still makes guest appearances on the show from time to time, and he always seems to come up with a different character voice when greeting the listeners at the start of the show.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
How do you do?
Now, Arthur wasn't the only Ask the Professor panelist known for his impersonations. You see, one day the late Professor George Pickering was a little tardy in getting to the studio, so somebody had to at least... try to fill in for him.
On my right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin. Aren't you going to introduce George?
Oh, yes. I forgot about George.
How could you ever?
I don't know. George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here. As always.
As always, yeah. Okay. Thank you for filling in for George, yes. On Kathy's right, also from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And on Greg's right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, Edwin.
Hello, Arthur. And
we are
entering the room right now from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department.
He's already been introduced.
Professor George Pickering.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always. Yes. Did I miss something?
Not really.
Nothing
right.
at all.
Nothing at all, no.
I miss George. That was so mean. Oh, well. We're back with questions from Joe and Jim regarding 90s stuff. And you guys are doing really, really well.
How many questions do they have?
They sent me like 4 pages, I swear, because they were really, well, you know, we started new lacrosse here at our school, and their first game was a really tough game. They lost 21-0.
I thought they won their first game.
No, they lost their first game. They've won 2 other games, yeah. But they really had took a big, big okay. hit. So this has been kind of tough traveling, you know, and it's been a hard, and they missed a few classes.
It's the first season.
And
I mean, that's
what I keep telling them. But, you know, they came from high schools where they played on really good teams, and I think that's a hard transition when you were kind of the top lacrosse dog and now you're kind of the last lacrosse puppy,
yeah,
you know,
welcome
in the basket.
To the real world. I mean.
Thank you. That's why sports can do that for you. This movie starred Leslie Nielsen as the ever slick agent WD-40.
Is it The Naked Gun?
No, it isn't. This is a different name of a film. He played Agent WD-40. I've never heard of this film before.
I don't know.
Spy Hard?
No.
I was going to say, never heard of it.
Was this a takeoff of video?
Probably. It sounds like it could have been.
Yeah, that's a takeoff of Die Hard, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
This gory 1992 crime caper marked the directorial debut of Quentin Tarantino, and they are right about gory.
No, Reservoir Dogs? Yeah, that movie is pretty vicious.
And I was not warned by a certain person named Jim Bob about how gory this film was going to be, and I just remember like thinking, oh my God, I think my eyes are just going to fall out of my head. I can't watch any more of this.
Yeah.
That's tough when that happens. Somebody should always be warned about splatter films. I don't care. This martial arts film finds Hilary Swank being taught to waltz as well as how to kick butt.
Karate Kid 4-3.
Okay, they call this the next Karate Kid?
Then it's Karate Kid 3 or 4.
Okay.
But
you got the Karate Kid
yes,
thing.
I get it.
So that's what's important. Okay.
He also judges whether the answer is correct.
That's okay. I'll
determine
okay.
if we're right or wrong.
Who went on to star in films like Pulp Fiction and Die Hard 3 after he played a 3-year stint as Bill Cosby's stand-in on The Cosby Show?
What?
This actor actually did a stint as Bill Cosby's stand-in.
Oh, that was Travolta's sidekick in Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh. And what I love is the takeoff that they did as a beer commercial with Dave Chappelle with this character, which was too funny. It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
That is one of my favorite takeoffs by Dave Chappelle doing Samuel L. Jackson beer in a very, very, how shall we say, urban way.
Yeah, I'm pretty
That's
sure
how
we can't
can say
repeat
that.
On TV.
The Coen Brothers.
Right, on the radio and TV.
Yeah, not at all. This Coen Brothers film found a new use for wood chippers.
Oh, Fargo.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
That's a great film.
It's so well done, and it's the characters are just priceless.
William Macy in that film is
good. He's always good.
He is. That's an actor who really has an interesting career and interesting films that he's selected.
It's such a classic.
What director made a Hitchcock-like appearance as the man with the video camera in Scream 3?
Oh, whoever directed it.
Yeah, he's kind of famous.
Not
for
Wes.
Wes
Craven?
It's Wes Craven, yeah, okay. Who makes some interesting films.
I didn't see it, but I'm assuming it was him.
This Alicia Silverstone movie was originally
Clueless.
Titled, yeah, I was a That's teenage so teenager.
This is fun. It's like, how many words does it take to you know,
which get the is answer. A modernization of?
Of Emma,
yeah.
Which is a great story. But she was quite good in that.
It was a good
amazing.
Movie. It's one of those Sunday no-brainer movies. You just lay on the couch.
Yeah, and just like laugh and go,
yeah,
I know that.
I get it.
Who played Los Angeles mall gal, Buffy, in the original Vampire Slayer movie? So I didn't know, it was originally a film.
Yes, it was.
Was it? Okay. Last name is the same name as Frozen Dinners or a line of frozen food.
Banquet?
It's Swanson, yeah.
I don't...
I thought Gloria was dead.
I'm pretty sure I don't know.
I'm ready for
I can
my
picture her.
Christy Swanson. Is her
I didn't
name.
Know that. I can picture
half on
my
that,
head.
Because Roy got the Swanson clue.
Mr. DeVille.
Yes. I'm ready for my close up.
Mr. DeVille, yeah.
It's not that the pictures. What is it?
Yeah,
that
you. You're not so big anymore. It's not. It's the
pictures have gotten smaller.
Yes, she's so good in that. This movie enjoyed a seminal moment of mistaken identity involving hair gel.
Oh, there's something about Mary.
There's something about
which
Mary.
Is another excellent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Coen brothers do that too? No, the Farley brothers.
The
did.
The Farley brothers did.
Yeah,
the
that movie is really classic. Mm-hmm. It's very enjoyable to watch.
Who keeps her Best Actress Oscar for Howard's End in the downstairs loo so guests can do whatever they want in front of the mirror?
Emma Thompson?
Yeah. That's a little too much information there, Anne. Okay. This Martin Scorsese movie was based on a book by former mobster Henry Hill. In fact, they use his name, actually use the name Henry, actually, in the film.
Martin Scorsese did a gangster movie?
He sure did. And this
it's
is
not
considered
Casino,
kind of,
is it?
Not
no,
Casino.
It's not Scarface?
Uh-uh. It's Goodfellas, which is
That's
a good movie. Although, again, that's a little hard to watch, too. A little spontaneous violence. What movie gave Julia Roberts a chance to explain to Hugh Grant, "I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her"?
Notting Hill, something?
Yes, it is Notting Hill.
Sorry. Did you catch that before it came out?
I did, thank God.
Did it taste good?
Mm, yum, yum, indeed. This movie sequel centers on the residents of the Fleelands, the only pet-friendly hotel in the city. Okay, so they are residents of Fleelands, which is a pet-friendly hotel in the city. And this movie
What's
that sequel.
One, the dog hotel thing? That's
oh, no, it's Dog yeah. Hotel, which actually my nephew told me he took two of the children to see, and they loved it.
Okay.
Thought it was funny and great, and he said it was a great movie to be able to take, like, kids from the age of, like, 9 to 11 to, because there's not a lot of films that you can do that with, he told me, and he's right. Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's a sequel that probably should have never been.
Yeah, I saw the original Babe, which I thought was very touching. Yes. It really did. I thought it was very sweet.
Jay Leno asked the important question. Apparently, there were four different Babes at different points in the filming. And he wondered if the earlier Babes actually ended up as a different version of BLT.
Yeah, it could have been. This movie showed the villagers of Tullymore conspiring to split £6.8 million in the Irish National Lottery.
Oh, that's the lottery movie.
It's so funny. This
that
is
movie
a great
is
film.
Hilarious. Isn't it the lottery?
No,
lottery
no.
winner?
No, it's Waking.
It's Waking.
Ned Devine.
Ned Devine. Yeah,
and that is a funny, funny, funny film.
Very funny movie.
Because those villagers
have they got a t-shirt yet?
Gots to.
Yeah, give them a t-shirt.
They will. We got to do that. This Star Wars character was digitalized atop the costume antics of actor Ahmad Best. So he's a Star Wars character, digitalized. Actor Ahmad Best. I don't know who that is.
Any relation to Adrian Zmed?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I thought you would know this, Dan, because it's about Star Wars.
I know,
you seem to know so much about it. The first name is another name for a pint. And it's alliterative here. It's Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, Jar Jar. Oh,
who
God.
Is Jar Jar Binks?
I'm thinking
the
old
floppy
Star
ears.
Wars.
Oh, is whatever. It? He's got floppy ears?
Yeah. Yeah, they were drinking that day.
Who's the they in that sense? Who's drinking?
Who makes the Star Wars movies?
George Lucas, right?
Yeah, he went a little astray.
No, they just had a Star Trek conference or convention or some display here in Detroit. Star Wars, yeah.
And
not Star Trek. Or was it Star Trek?
It was the largest assembly of 28-year-old virgins in one place.
They showed people that were in the costumes and everything they went to.
If you ever want to see probably the funniest thing on TV, look up Conan O'Brien when he does The Insulting Dog.
Oh, yes.
And
Triumph.
That dog is so evil.
That pretty much is the most hilarious thing ever. But he has this piece where they visit a Star Wars convention.
Oh,
in,
no, he does it.
In
New
York
no.
City. And they're standing, not a convention, but they're standing outside waiting for the Star Wars movie to open, and they're in their costumes. you'll pee your pants watching this thing. And then at the end, it lasts like 15 minutes, and it never stops. I'm just laughing. And at the end, he brings Mr. Spock through, and he gives the whole audience the finger.
Oh, no.
Triumph was pretty good when Triumph he was interviewing some of the political candidates in the primaries. Yeah.
I just remember when he took Triumph to Toronto when they were taping in Canada, and I mean, he was just so rude.
Yeah,
but he was rude in a funny way. Indeed. What movie did Ewan McGregor get into character for by shaving his head and shedding 30 pounds of weight? Think Drug Addicts. Because that's about
Trainspotting?
It's Trainspotting. No. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that film. Somebody who I took to see it thought I was like sick and twisted for liking it. I mean, it was kind of hardcore, and certainly mm-hmm. I think it's a film they should show kids to say, see what happens when you do hardcore drugs? Mm-hmm. Hello? This is how you're going to end up. Like, nasty and sick. What event did Forrest Gump describe as taking long walks to look for this guy named Charlie?
What event?
Yeah, what event did he describe as taking a long walk to look for this guy named Charlie?
Oh, in Vietnam?
Yeah, it's the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. That's right, because he wasn't terribly bright, and they referred to the Viet Cong as Charlie. So I guess he thought he was over walking through the jungle. Oh, my. What did Miramax change the title Scary Movie to in 1996?
Scary Movie 2?
No, I didn't know this. I thought there was just a whole sequel of scary movies, right?
I thought so, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but this is a different title that it called Scream?
Oh.
Oh, Scream, yeah.
But Scary Movie, that's a spoof of Scream
that's
and
it.
All those movies.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because they always have, like, the character, you know, the girl who's running in her high heels and, you know, the phone call that comes and, you know, all those stupid stories that you, as a teenager, you believed in. Like the person's on the extension calling up and they're going to murder you kind of thing. Okay. Mm. What five memorable words spoken by Ed Harris as flight director Gene Kranz in Apollo 13?
Houston, we have a problem.
No, did Kranz never say during this the real-life disaster? It's sort of like a Margaret Thatcher kind of quote.
Something about landing on the moon?
Failure is not an option? Mm. But the real character didn't really say that.
But it's a good.
I thought that was a football quote.
Oh, well, that's what they say. What body part on the singing Britney Spears doll did you have to push to make her perform?
This sounds like it's going to make us more than G-rated.
Not really. This is some people have innies and some people have outies.
Her first belly button?
It's a belly button, yeah. Well, okay. This religious leader was yanked from the Apple Think Different ad in Hong Kong because they felt it might be offensive to mainland China.
The Buddha?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it would have. Mm-hmm. I was told, don't talk about him at all when you're over there. Don't even bring it on up. Okay. What one-time dancer at the Purple Onion read a poem at Bill Clinton's inaugural ceremony?
Maya Angelou?
Yeah, it was good old Maya. There we go.
And a great poem.
Yeah, it truly was. Oh, so we'll have to stop there. But let me thank our panel. Professor Maggio.
Thank you for the cookies.
You're welcome. Professor Finkenbein.
Ditto.
Yeah, now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department Studios here at the McNichols campus of the University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, witnessed, and saved week after week by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Come on, Tigers, it's time for some baseball.